scenes with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope everybody's having a great night so far. Preds Insiders brought to you by Zen Sports. Nick, it's been a while. They've been at home for a lot recently, so they've had a lot of Smashville Live episodes and a whole lot of other things going on. They kicked us off the air. We're back on there tonight, though, so it's good to be back with another edition of Preds Insiders. How we doing?
Yeah, for sure. It's been good. Good just to be back. I remember I did a brief update last week just because we have not been on the air, but that's okay. I'm glad to talk about Predators anytime, any place. So everything is going well, and all of us were in Media Row last night. That was a packed house.
It was packed house last night in Media Row. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Barry Trotz had what I would characterize as a pretty interesting conversation with Jared Stillman yesterday on his program, particularly about some decisions that he could make as this group moves forward here. We'll get into that. You'll hear that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. Nick and I will react to that. We'll take your thoughts all show long as well on our text line. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Nick, a game last night for the Preds where they had won 7 out of 8 heading into it, 13 out of 16. They were the hottest team in the league heading into the game. And taking on a Vancouver team, which they had seen twice already this year. Vancouver had won both games. And It was a game where it was interesting because I thought in the first period there was really nothing going on. Like I thought the Predators were defending pretty well against Vancouver. I thought Vancouver was defending well against the Predators, and it was basically a game that was taking place in the neutral zone and not a ton happening. And then all of a sudden, Elias Pettersson gets the puck. He makes a great shot, kind of takes it from the backhand to the forehand in one motion, kind of a snipe pretty quickly there. A few minutes later, the Predators lose control of the puck behind the net. It bounces out to the slot. It's 2-0 Vancouver very quickly. Michael McCarron gets kicked out of the game shortly after that. A two-minute unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, followed by him screaming at the officials, then gets a 10-minute misconduct and a game misconduct and is shown the door after that. So after a start to the period where basically nothing was going on, it changed pretty quickly for the Predators last night. They finally made it 2-1. In the second period, after they were pushing for a while, Jeremy Lauzon scores, and you think, all right, well, it's not been a great game for them to this point, but maybe that goal gets them back in this thing. They're able to come back and make a game of it in the third period. And then 15 seconds after Lauzon scores, Vancouver scores again. They make it 3-1, quickly make it 4-1 after that, and that was all she wrote last night. Final score ends up being 5-2. So while the Predators have done a lot of winning lately, last night, not one of their better games. They get hammered by Vancouver 5-2. What did you make of the game that we saw last night? And what do you make as a whole of the way that they've been playing lately? Because Andrew Burnett did talk about, while they've been winning some games here in the last week or so, haven't necessarily played some of their best hockey.
Yeah, I think the first thing that stands out to me is Andrew Burnett didn't like their focus last night. That was the first thing he kind of talked about. So when you're playing as much hockey as you have in the last month or so, and at one point, when you look at a team that plays three back-to-backs, that was their first sweep of a back-to-back most recently over the weekend. So that was a good sign of good hockey from them. And it was only time before they started playing consistently good hockey, I think, personally. And I think that when you look at the structure of the team and how it's built, I mean, it's veterans. It's kind of what you would want to expect. It wasn't maybe what they thought they would get as quickly as they have, perhaps. So that's definitely good. I would say after the game last night, the Canucks are just the Preds' kryptonite. I mean, that was a clean sweep. They've won three in a row against them now. I can't really tell you the last time that that's even happened against the Vancouver Canucks. I'd have to go back and look if it's even happened at all since 1998. But look, it's interesting because Andrew Burnett also talked about how, look, this is also a team that we kind of let our self-inflicted wounds take over. You don't want to have that happen very often, because if it does, then the stretch of games that you put together most recently, that's going to wither really quickly. And if you don't control the pacing of your game, then you're going to see a huge dip. And one person that I've liked in terms of how he played last night, not everybody played great. I mean, nobody played great in his mind, but I think Philip Tomasino looked a little bit better last night, for sure. He definitely had some good looks and was thrown in there a little bit more often because Michael was out, like we already kind of have talked about. And anyone that's kind of confused about that, look, Michael ran his mouth. He got tossed. I think that's the best way just to put it. He ran his mouth. He said whatever he said. Jeremy said he was a good teammate for sticking up for him. Look, that's
it
about
it. It escalated very quickly.
Yes, very, very quickly. That was even my gift that I used from Anchorman after the second period ended. So, yeah, that was an interesting game last night, and the Preds will have their dads have a story over on thegamenashville.com. Got to catch up with some of the guys about how what their dads mean to them. So that was cool, and they get to go to Philly, and you can catch the game tomorrow night. And Max Herz will have the pregame, and I'll be there with him all night long before I do Robbie and Rex Shred on Friday.
Capital J journalist, the hardest working man in sports, Nick Kieser, on the job.
There you go. Right,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, look, I mean, I think Tomasino has played a lot better lately, you know, certainly than he did to begin the year. The beginning of the year, I thought he was borderline invisible out there in terms of just not generating a ton. He was losing a lot of puck battles. He looked slow, and for a player that we know is not slow, you know, it didn't look like there was much pace to his game. And Brunette's talked about that a little bit in the aftermath since then. He's played with more of a pace, and I think he's played really well lately. So, you know, I thought he was fine last night. You know, nobody played great, as Andrew Brunette talked about. But, you know, if you're the Predators, you still, I mean, you're on a run here where you've won 13 out of 17 games. You're feeling good overall about the way things are going right now. But it's an interesting part of the schedule here because you got the Vancouver game that you've put behind you last night. You got two more games this week, one against Philly tomorrow, one against Saturday, against Dallas on Saturday before the Christmas break comes. It's an interesting time of year because there's family around and people are getting ready for Christmas, and there's just a lot more, I guess, distractions, for lack of a better term, this time of year than there normally are. And it's not like this is, you know, exclusive to the Predators. Everybody's dealing with this. But does this Predators team have the mental makeup to kind of soldier through it here? You've seen, you know, guys like O'Reilly and McDonough and Luke Shen and Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, guys that have been around the block for a long time and have been through this. I think that's a strength of this team. I think that there's been a clear kind of a shift in mindset, and I think McDonough and O'Reilly and Shen, those guys deserve a lot of credit. Nyquist, I would throw into that too, from what we've seen from that this year. But this is a really interesting couple of games that they've got coming up. Can you find a way to head into the Christmas break here on a positive note? Because what you don't want to do is roll off 13 out of 16 and then lose three in a row this week and have that to stew on all Christmas break before you get back to a schedule that gets challenging after that as well with some good teams coming in. So this is an interesting stretch for the Predators here.
Yeah, because you got Matt Duchene coming into town on Saturday for an afternoon game, which we all love. But right after that, you got a really good Carolina Hurricane team that just got Svechnikov back from injury. So I'm kind of curious to see what the Hurricanes look like now, but the Predators kind of had their number last time out, so that was definitely encouraging. But I think around this time of the year, I didn't think the Predators would be this good, Robbie. I think just plain and simple, look, this group is a really fun group to watch, but the most encouraging thing is that Andrew Brunette and top guys like you just talked about, you know, Forsberg, I think O'Reilly's one of them. Nyquist is even one of them. They're all having fun. I just named off the entire top line, but I would also, you know, say that the other guys, the younger guys, are having fun as well. Luke Evangelista is having fun. Tommy Novak, when he's been healthy, he's been good. And one guy I'm curious about in terms of maybe where his headspace is at right now is Cody Glass. I think last night, yeah, he scored a goal, but I was explaining to a friend on the way home, they were asking me about Cody Glass and maybe what that goal meant for him. I said, I don't think it meant as much as you think it does. It was a garbage time goal. It was at the very end of a game. He didn't have a goal at all this year. It's good to get one out of the way. Yeah, for sure. It was a pretty pass, and I thought it was a great play. But when you're on the schneid and you've been snake bitten, as Andrew Brunette has put it time and time again with all kinds of players this year, that's kind of been his coined phrase. I think for Cody, he's going to have to figure more things out than just being in front of the net at the right place at the right time. I think for him, it's going to be about winning faceoffs and being quicker. And I kind of find myself thinking of him as a younger version of Colton Sissons that's not as physical. So I don't know what he's going to look like in the future whatsoever. He could be a more dynamic center. You know, everybody thought, well, Ryan Johansson left, he might be the next one. No, there's no way. He's not built the same. He doesn't play the same as him. I think there's some facets for sure, but he is certainly struggling right now. So that's something for me, at least, to kind of keep an eye on. And last night, I thought some turnovers cost them, and we'll have to see how much they can adjust on that, because they've been consistent. That's why I've asked Andrew about, you know, that defense. Are you liking what you're seeing? Do you like that consistency with these lines right now? Because Roman said, I like playing on the right. I'm comfortable there. So we'll see what they do, Robbie. But I think that right now they're ahead of expectation. Trotz even said that in the conversation coming up. So you'll get to hear more of that, obviously, with Jared, as he does that every week. But this week's conversation was definitely telling.
Yep, and we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. A quick point on Glass. You know, it's been a tough season for him in terms of, I mean, he's just battled injury left and right. So he gets the lower body injury. He comes back for a couple games, immediately gets hit in the shoulder and gets knocked out with an upper body injury. You know, the Washington game on Saturday, he got hauled down from behind on a breakaway, and it looked like he was in some pain there. And I thought, oh, goodness, is he hurt again? Is he going to miss some time? Luckily, he didn't. He was back out there against Vancouver, so that part of it's good. But there's been no opportunity for him to really get some traction this year with the injuries that he's dealt with, and I'm sympathetic to that. And I think that's a big part of what we've seen, or maybe more accurately, what we haven't seen from him. Having said that, like, you got to find a way, if you're Cody Glass, to make more of an impact than he's made. And good for him for getting the goal last night. You know, sometimes all you need as a player is to just see one go in for you, and that starts to open things up a little bit. So hopefully that's the case with Cody Glass here, but he's got to take, I think, more of the onus on himself a little bit to find a way to make more of an impact. It feels like he's not really had the puck a lot this year, and he's not been overly dangerous when he has. And, you know, I'm with you. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be like some 55, 60-point guy. I mean, I think people who are holding on to that are not really being realistic with him anymore. But certainly he's talented enough to make more of a difference offensively than he has to this point this year. So we'll see if he can get that rolling as they get things going against Philadelphia on Thursday and against the Stars coming up on Saturday. Will that be some momentum that Cody Glass was able to carry over from last game to the rest of this week? Coming up next, you'll hear a conversation with Barry Trotz from Jared Stillman on Stillman & Company yesterday. Lots of really interesting topics discussed here with Barry Trotz, including maybe some decisions that Barry Trotz could make that he didn't anticipate making heading into the season. That's coming up next. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Barry, my old boss, our old program director, Ryan Forth, texted me Friday night, and he said, the Predators are fun again. After, once again, Philip Forsberg puts the puck in the net about 6 seconds into the start of overtime. It has been a wild ride so far this season, but do you feel like the team is exactly where you want them as we approach the holidays?
Yes, and maybe a little bit ahead of where I thought they would be. I mean, we had talked, a little over a month ago, we were 5-10, and I said, you know, we should be a little bit better, but this is going to be a little bit of a year where we're going to have to enjoy the ride, the good and the bad. And, you know, we sort of got on a little bit of a heater, and we were getting big goals. What I like about it is our top guys are our top guys again, and the young guys are chipping in and being more consistent, and our team has got the identity that Bruno wants to implement. So we're scoring some goals. I look at our team, you know, early in the year, I was saying, you know, goaltending needs to be a little bit better. Our penalty kill needs to be better. Power play was the only thing that was sort of going for us in a little bit of 5-on-5. Now I look at our whole game, and there's, you know, our penalty kill has got better. Our power play has stayed pretty consistent. Goaltending is heating up. You know, all those areas, our 5-on-5 game is pretty solid. So, you know, we're sort of coming together. Like I said, I don't know how it's going to play out. It's going to be a wild ride, I think, for the rest of the year. But at the same time, these guys, you know, show up every night. and it's been fun. I mean, I'd like to know what the record is of the three fastest overtime goals and by one player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Phil's got three, and I think the combine is probably the longest into the overtime is about 18, 20 seconds maybe, and he's been hot. So we'll take the points when we can get them, that's for sure, because it's really hard to do that in this league.
So going with Phil, you know, I was thinking about this. When you took the job as the general manager and you made the coaching change, and I would say in hockey circles, I don't think around here a lot of people were too upset about that, but I do think that in hockey circles, it was kind of a controversial decision mm-hmm. to move on from John and to bring in Andrew Burnett. And I wonder, when you made that move, was that so that we would be seeing the Philip Forsberg that we're seeing today? How much of this is he was a good player and this coach has unlocked him to another level?
Well, I think, you know, that was the vision. I always felt that Andrew's always had that ability to connect with those top players, and especially, you know, power play guys and all that. But this falls on Phil. Phil has done a really good job. I mean, you remember he got hurt last year. Was a big hole in the lineup. But really, he trained all summer. I watched him endlessly, just absolutely burying himself day in and day out, and putting in the work and doing all that. And all those things that he's done, I think, has really, really got him in a really good place. And I think having Ryan O'Reilly, and I think I said it, they had a marriage right at mm-hmm. training camp. There was something special going on, and I think those two made a connection, and I think they really enjoy playing you know, on the same line, but also I think they see how valuable they are to the success that we have. And I always felt that Philip is an absolute superstar, and he's playing like it this year for sure.
Do you think there's another level with him?
I do. The one thing with Philip, and it's hard to do in this league, because if you're a good player, you're getting the best, the hardest matchups. Guys are digging into you a little harder, mm-hmm. So it's harder to put up those numbers. But when Phil plays that I call that heavy big man's game, his skills just come out. When he just tries to, you know, use his hands and not necessarily that big strong body, I think he comes a little bit less productive. I think he's got a really good balance this year, and if he continues that for the whole year, I think he'll be right up there with the best in the league in terms of the scoring.
So you had a plan coming into the season, thinking about where the team was going to be, and the plan is not just about what the Nashville Predators look like, but what the Nashville Predators may look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Has it changed with the way the team has played as you approach kind of the first of the year, knowing that the trade deadline season is about to cook up a little bit, knowing that you've got cap space, what other teams don't have? Is there kind of a mindset here of, you know, we thought maybe there was a chance we'd be selling off some of these parts to get some more picks for the future, but now, hey, this team might be a legitimate, I'm not going to say a cup contender, but a contender to get into the second round. And once you get there, you've lived this life. Do whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's this game is always full of surprises and disappointments.
You mean like when you were down 2-0 against Columbus and ended up winning the cup?
Absolutely. you know, you get tested in so many ways. So I think, you know, we have the vision of three, four years. If we can improve the hockey club, that will make sense for us now and maybe, you know, for a year or two down the road, or 3 or 4 years down the road, we will look at that and do that. I mean, we talked about trying to get the more offensive players through the draft. Great thing is we've got Matthew Wood and Tanner Molendijk, who are both underages playing at the World Championships, Junior Championships with Team Canada, mm-hmm. which is it's a big step. I don't think we've had that many guys with Team Canada for quite a while. So they hopefully will be, you know, they'll be the underages. So we'll see if they get much playing time or not. But at the same time, they are probably, you know, circled as prime guys for next year as well for that team, because they're still underages. So the future is bright with us. We said we got to get want to get some more scoring, get more offensive. You see the way we play is it's a lot more eye appealing and fan appealing. Plus we're scoring more. Mm-hmm. You know, we were looking at where's our goals going to come from. Well, you see the way we play, it comes from everybody, but especially when your top guys are gone, your power play is consistent, and you got the belief system that this group has, you're going to have some success. So the plan is still the plan, It will have to change if, you know, we're there at the deadline. The players will decide that. I really won't. If we're right there at the deadline, then, you know, we may tweak it a little bit. You know, from now to the deadline, if something comes up that makes sense for the now and the future, we'll look at that. But we're not going to, you know, risk our future, if you will, because the goal is to get to that ultimate goal and get this whole group going really well. And speaking of young guys, you know, the Milwaukee Admirals are playing very well. You saw a guy like Spencer Stastny come up here. We got Joachim Kemmel, Shveshkov, Schaefer. They're all getting better and better, which is really, really great for us. And it gives what that'll do is, you know, if they can have success together at the American League level, that's going to translate in the future for us at this level. And also from a salary cap standpoint, it really sets us up for a really good situation down the road. So I like what we've done. I think Scott Nichols done a great job with our development program down there, and Carl Taylor and the staff and coaching the guys. So I think we're trending in a really good situation, and hopefully we can stay healthy and keep competing with the good teams. Like this, I look at this week, and I'm, you know, you got a team like Vancouver is one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. Philadelphia is one of the biggest surprises this week, and Dallas is right there, right ahead of us. So we got a really big week, and I always sort of chuckle about as a coach at this week. It's a little bit of a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get, especially during Christmas, because you got families coming in. We're doing the father's trip. There's a lot of games. Guys are just trying to get to that, you know, the finish line for Christmas.
Okay, so I am actually close with Santa. And
right.
I do wonder, you know, going back to the trade deadline and how you feel about the team right now, if I were going back to Santa and I were to say, hey, Barry has been very good this year, what is it that you would like from Santa to add to your hockey club? What would you want me to tell Santa?
I would say that I need some more offense. I need a legitimate secondary threat that can go, you know, in the lineup next to Philip Forsberg and O'Reilly, and that's a real threat that, you know, put up some points. And those are hard to come by in the league, you know. And, you know, obviously at the center ice is really hard in this league, and high point producing guys, scorers in this league are hard to come by. So that's what Barry would want from Santa for the team.
So you were talking about the father's trip that's coming up, and apparently the roster freeze sets in tonight.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, is there going to be, you know, any kind of finagling of the roster, knowing that you're kind of stuck after tonight until the first of the year?
No. Right now there's nothing imminent, but this business is funny. Like, you know, there's days when I've said, you know what, there's nothing going on. I'm gonna head out and run a couple errands, and then the phone rings, and you're like, you know, 7 hours later, you're still in the office, and you're wondering what happened. So, but right now, we're, you know, I've talked to a number of teams just before the freeze, and also I'm gonna see a lot of the general managers over at the World Championships in Sweden next week. So just touching base with them. And We threw some things around, but there's nothing really, really imminent. But you never know. You're just a phone call away, and someone goes, you know what, I want to do this before the freeze, which is, what, 6 or 7 hours away right now, type of thing. So we'll see, but I don't anticipate anything, but never say never.
Barry Trotz is with us. You talked about the young guys at Milwaukee and kind of, you know, what's coming there and not going to sacrifice the future of the Nashville Predators for the present, which I think a lot of people would agree with, including me. But what I do wonder is, how important was it for you to spend that time where you were kind of observing with David last year to be able to now have a real feel about who, which prospects you believe in down the road, which guys you think, maybe these rankings have them a little too high and maybe they could be used in a potential trade? Or how important is that so that you know as you approach kind of the trade season what you really have in the lower levels?
It's really important. I you know, I got a chance to watch Milwaukee last year and they had a long run. I've been watching all the Milwaukees. I've had hockey heaven lately because with the start times and with our games and different people we're looking at in Milwaukee, I can watch them almost simultaneously with the 6 o'clock start and the 7 o'clock start.
Do you have two TVs up next to each other?
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're able to,
yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of times I'm in contact with Scott Nickel because he's watching Milwaukee, and we'll comment between periods about certain players or how we feel we're playing. And I think it's really important. You know, I would say that every team in the National Hockey League probably not overrates their prospects, because they love their prospects. They drafted them. They want to develop them. So what someone would have, our prospects, you know, might be not as high as we have them, but we'll have the same thing on theirs. And that's how it is. I mean, a lot of times I'll look at some of the ratings. I'm going, you know, we can get this guy. He's and then when you really get down to it, you talk to your scouts and all that. They go, no, we'd rather stay with our guy. You know, be it a young player in Milwaukee or someone on our team that's young. No, we feel he's a better player, so let's go that route. So, but it's really important for me to know our players to make good decisions with. It's really important for me to know the prospects that are going to be drafted this year.
Sure.
You know, that's really in Jeff Kelty and the scouting department's area. But I think if I'm doing my job, I should know the prospects as well, so I can have those intelligent questions asked and say, listen, okay, I know you like this guy, but I'm not seeing it. Prove it to me. Tell me why. You know, and
not only that, because you're the guy that gets fired over those decisions.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's really the scouting staff, and it's like that in every league. You know, my name goes on it, even though I might not have even hardly seen the player.
Sure.
You know, but my name goes on it. So I think it's really important that you know your own prospects and you know the type of team that I want to have here play in Nashville, and make sure that we don't have duplicates. It's really easy when you get to the scouting table. I think sometimes you say, we'll take the best player, but we have duplicates, and in you know, we have duplicate defensemen,
sure.
We have duplicate wingers, so maybe we bypass that and let's look at maybe centermen, or let's look at you know, a profile of a big D versus a smaller skating D. So having those things lined up for our scouts, I think they appreciate that. They don't look at it. They look at, we're asking them to tell us who the best players are. They're not building the team. So it's up to myself to communicate that to Jeff Kelty and Scott Nickel and Brian Poyle and our management team, so that we're all on the same page and we understand that, you know, just because we can take this player, we have duplicates, maybe there's a better fit by trading them away or moving down or not taking that pick. So those are the things that I want to be prepared for June, which you have to do now.
Barry Trotz, as I said, I'm friends with Santa, and I will pass along your request
right,
to him
I
see where
you're
going there. Have a very Merry Christmas.
You
enjoy
too.
The games before the holiday. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy, where you say you were going, Switzerland for the...
Sweden.
Sweden?
Yeah.
I mix them up, and I should not do that. Enjoy that for the you know, the scouting and everything else. Really appreciate your time, as always. Good luck tonight.
All right, thank you.
Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening, brought to you by Zen Sports. Pretty interesting conversation right there with Barry Trotz on Stillman & Company yesterday. Nick, I thought in particular when Trotz was talking about maybe viewing the deadline a little bit differently than he anticipated, that is interesting. And he talked about it being left up to the players, and obviously there's still some significant time between now and the deadline to go here that's gonna tell the story. I do wonder, look, if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators are in a situation similar to what they're in right now, which is they're a wild card team, they're in the playoffs, but they're, you know, their spot is not secure by any stretch of the imagination. How do you view that if you're Trotz? How do you view your approach in terms of what to do at the deadline? You know, I think most of us thought that it made sense for the Predators to head into this year, you know, see what they got with the roster changes that they made, see if they could bring some of the young guys along. And then when it came down to it at the deadline, maybe try to sell off a few more veteran pieces, get some more picks, more assets, those things. Be that a Tyson Berry, which I guess still could happen. Maybe, you know, I even thought when Nyquist signed his contract, it's like, okay, it's a 2-year deal. It's not terribly expensive. Could that be something that's attractive to somebody at the deadline? Like, just things like that, moves like that. And now you look at it and you say, well, Nyquist has played on your top line for basically the whole season with Forsberg and O'Reilly. You've gotten yourself in a position after starting 5-10 where you're in a playoff spot right now. It's not secure by any stretch of the imagination, but you're in there and you're in the race. You know, if you're Barry Trotz, does that make you more willing to buy at the deadline with the cap space that you had? I was looking it up on Cap Friendly today. They got plenty of cap space to work with. They got around $13 million in cap space, which only Chicago has more in the league, and Chicago is not going to be buying this year. So they got a lot of cap space to deal with right now. It's an interesting proposition because I think if you're Barry Trotz, you got to weigh how worth it is perhaps – maybe the short-term gain of a playoff run this year as compared to trying to keep that long-term plan in mind. Like, unless you're getting somebody, Nick, that can be, number one, a game-breaking type player, but number two, a player that can be with you for longer than a season. Like, the idea of the Predators swinging big and giving up like a first-round pick at the deadline this year makes no sense to me whatsoever if I'm the Predators. So I'm really interested to see how Barry Trotz approaches that, and I thought those comments there with Jared were very interesting.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that the thing that stood out to me specifically verbatim was Trotz said, the plan is the plan, but it will have to change if we're there at the deadline, kind of talking about if they're there in terms of where they currently are in a playoff spot. And it's the players that will decide that for Barry Trotz. And I'm kind of curious of his mindset as a general manager in this regard, Robbie, because he's been a coach, he's been in the front office, he knows what it takes to win a Stanley Cup in his own unique ways. Now, how does he make that the new Predator way? How does he implement that? And I think you lay that out perfectly for what they could look for maybe later down the road, where it's you don't exhaust a first round pick, you don't at all. And every single time that he has talked about the future, he has been really high on Matthew Wood and also Tanner Mullendike. I think that the amount of times that he speaks on them is a little bit odd, but he does always go to those draft picks for sure. He loves those guys, so he's been watching that, and I think he's going over there to Sweden, so he's going to have a fun time watching that. So, but I think what I'm more or less interested in is the amount of time it's going to take before maybe a Barry is dealt, essentially, because we are all aware that he would like a change of scenery. And if that's the case, you know, Barry Trotz said it 2 weeks ago, I believe, on Jared's visit. It was, hey, there's only about 3 to 4 teams I saw on Cap Friendly. So Trotz has his homework done just like you. That's where he goes, and kind of made me feel like I was doing the same thing as a GM for half a second.
Yeah, but you can be an NHL general manager.
Why not? So,
Nick Kieser, next general manager of the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, man, the San Jose Sharks. I would like going out there. I have family there. But anyway, look, I think it's interesting to see what they could do. I think a Nyquist is interesting. You know, for those that don't know, he was dealt to the Minnesota Wild. He got hurt but didn't really get to do much with them. So he did get traded, and that was an asset at the deadline. And Tyson Barrie was dealt around the deadline, not to a playoff team because Nashville didn't make it, but Matthias Ekholm got traded. And so, look, I think it's an intriguing spot. You know, also, too, guys that have 1 year left on their deal, Trotz talked about how there's been preliminary conversations with some of those agents right now. Yep. So how interested would teams be in someone like, you know, a Tommy Novak, a Yakov Trenin, and maybe Juuso Parsonen? I have no idea. I mean, those guys, in my mind, if there is a team interested, somebody could want to go pluck them away for, you know, a draft pick or flip them for some sort of younger player. I don't know. But the defense is going to be what it is for the most part. If I had to guess, it would be between maybe, I don't know, a Barry and probably a Fabro in terms of trade conversation. But I don't know. I think it's going to be very intriguing to see how, you know, Barry Trotz, not Barry, approaches, you know, the rest of this season, knowing that we're a few games above 500. We could make the playoffs. Does that change anything? That's yet to be seen, obviously.
Well, here's some contract statuses for guys just right now as things stand. So, you know, with forwards, you've got Yakov Trenin, who's a free agent after this season. Tommy Novak's an unrestricted free agent after this year. You know, Michael McCarron, Kiefer Sherwood, Cole Smith, all those guys unrestricted free agents after this season. And none of those guys are, you know, obviously Well, I shouldn't say none of those guys. Most of those guys are not players that you think are long-term, like, just pillars of your franchise. Now, the Novak part of it is interesting because Novak, before he got hurt, was a point-per-game guy. He was basically a point-per-game guy down the stretch last season as well. Obviously, he's got some good ability, and he's got some offensive creativity. It's been a little slow out of the gate for him coming back from injury these past few games when he missed, you know, almost a month with the injury. But I do expect him to pick it back up, and he's going to have a nice season. What does that contract look like? And, you know, if the Predators and Novak are far apart, he is an unrestricted free agent. So, like, does Barry Trotz ever get to the point where he's like, well, you know what? I can't lose somebody for nothing, and you just trade him. Like, that would not be unprecedented to happen. I think, and this I'm not reporting this. This is just my gut feeling. I think they really like Tommy Novak, and I think they want Tommy Novak to be a part of the plans as they move forward. I don't think he's going to get like an 8-year deal or anything like that. I think it's probably going to be more in the neighborhood of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, something like that. I wouldn't go much longer than that if I'm the Predators. But I do wonder, to your point, you know, if the negotiation part of this becomes more difficult than maybe Barry Trotz thinks it will, how does that impact it? And then on defense, you know, those were all forwards. On defense, you got Barry, who's a free agent coming up. We've talked about him. You also have Alex Carrier, who's a free agent coming up, and Dante Fabro, a restricted free agent. So you have some decisions to make in terms of the future of your blue line and what that's going to look like. You know, do you want to sign Carrier to another contract? What's the money going to look like for that? What about Fabro? I mean, Fabro's been a healthy scratch lately. I still think, for the most part, he's played pretty well when he's been in there this year. He's under your control as a restricted free agent. So there's a lot of moving parts from a contractual standpoint with guys you already have that Barry Trotz is going to have to figure out. And I'm sure somewhere, Nick, in the back of his mind too, you got to figure out what you want to do with all those guys while also leaving yourself space to think about, okay, who's going to be out there league-wide, either in free agency or via trade, that you want to target to bring in to help take the team to the next level, which Barry Trotz has talked about many times.
Yeah, he has. And I don't really think there's that many upcoming guys in free agency that maybe would be of interest for the Nashville Predators. Nothing's guaranteed right now. You could look at maybe who some of the pending free agents would be. And that's a good thing that, you know, Dante Fabro is still an RFA. And, you know, Alex Carrier is someone that I feel like he's made a couple of strides this year playing with Jeremy. But I feel like unless something, you know, continues to go well for them and they can be a stud of a, you know, duo back there, I don't envision them maybe keeping a guy like Alex. I would certainly think he would fit the scheme very well because so far he's proven that it works if he's playing well. And last night nobody did, but there's a few instances where I think it works long term for sure. But I mean, the fact that Fabro has been scratched as many times as he has is very interesting because, you know, Brunette talks about how tough of a choice that is. He's like, it sucks as a coach to make those decisions. And so I'm not really sure, you know, what goes into his thinking. He's not been as open to necessarily saying how he goes through those. And look, I understand why he may not go through that, but I think for Fabro's sake, being scratched 8 times this season is not something that you have to feel too good about right now. And I think being right behind Tomasino being scratched and also McCarron being scratched, you know, Fabro's on pace to be scratched the most this season right now. So we'll see what happens there. Tyson Barrie also has been scratched when they feel like he's not played very well. So I'm not necessarily sure what their vision is moving forward. But one thing I'm encouraged by, too, is if you like the play of some of the guys in Milwaukee, you know, Igor Afanasyev, you know, he's another guy that you could probably have come up and play with the big club next year. If they like Svechkov, which I don't know if he'd be ready by next year, but he could be someone that you could think about as well. So there's a few different options. And then also in net as well, Kevin Lankinen, I believe, is a free agent this year as well. So you have Yaroslav Askarov where that plan can start the, you know, start basically where it's, hey, we've got a good backup goal. You know, UC Saros was backup for about 3-4 seasons for the most part. So I think that would be a good succession plan. But then you get into that can of worms of, well, Saros, do you sign him to a long-term deal? Yep. So there's all kinds of choices, and I think Barry Trotz, you know, general manager is a very special job. Don't think I'd want it. We were talking about that, but we'll see. It is going to be very intriguing to see how the Predators want to utilize their plan moving forward.
Oh, I'd do that job. I'd do it in a heartbeat. No question about
Most people maybe, yes.
I'd do it. Well, look, and the part that kind of, to me, revolves around all of this, and Barry Trotz has talked about it from the moment he got hired here to be the general manager. Like, at some point, you've got to find a way to get that franchise centerman. And, like, Ryan O'Reilly has been really good. He has been better than I thought he would be in playing in the number one center role at his age and the wear and tear and all the mileage that he's seen in this league playing over 1,000 games. I think he's been excellent for the most part this year. Ryan O'Reilly is not your long-term plan as number one center. Nor do I think he was signed to be. Like, he was signed to come in and be the number one guy this year and mentor some of the young guys. And eventually, like, to me, if you're going to take the next step in being a Stanley Cup contender, you know, Ryan O'Reilly needs to gradually move to your number two, and then probably at some point your number three if things go really well and you find a couple of guys that you feel good about, be that somebody that's already here on your roster, maybe like a Tommy Novak or a Juuso Parsonen or somebody of that ilk. But I think also Barry Trotz knows deep down that true game-changing franchise centerman guy they don't have right now. It's not in their system. It's not somebody that they've drafted. Like, it's got to be somebody that they go out and find. And whether that's via the draft moving forward here from now on, or whether that's via a trade somehow, like, that's kind of the next step that they've got to find. And that's, unfortunately, probably the hardest thing in the NHL to find. So
yeah,
we'll see what that looks like.
I also think that they may be pretty high on Matthew Wood.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying that he's going to be that answer necessarily, but if you're high on a guy, as much as you talk about him, as much as you scout him still, as much as I've heard Barry talk about sending people to go watch these college games, then I think that they are pretty high on him. He certainly could be one of those answers.
Yeah, and he changed positions this year to center. So we'll see what that looks like and how well-equipped he is to handle things that way. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to the week coming up for the Predators and how they can close out the Christmas break here on a positive note. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers on the road. And then at home on Saturday against Dallas to close things out before the Christmas break takes place. The roster freeze already underway. So you're not going to see any trades, any moves over the next couple of days here. But the Christmas roster freeze now completely in phase here. The return, by the way, Nick Kieser, of Matt Duchene coming up on Saturday with the Dallas Stars. So Duchene, as we know, bought out by the Predators. Barry Trotz deciding to move on from him and Ryan Johansson this past offseason. Johansson going to Colorado, Matt Duchene signing with the Dallas Stars. And things have gone well for Duchene this year with the Stars. He's got 27 points in 29 games, 10 goals, 17 assists. So nearly a point per game pace for Matt Duchene. Look, we've seen Matt Duchene play well in this league. I actually thought when he signed in Dallas, I thought that was a great spot for him because he didn't have to be the guy. He can be maybe like their fourth or fifth best forward. You know, you've got Sagan, you've got Ben, you've got Jason Robertson, you've got Joe Pavelski. Like, they got a lot of guys in Dallas. So I thought it was a really good spot for Duchene, and he's played really well to this point. Should be an interesting return for him. Look, I mean, it's no secret. That guy loved him from Nashville, Tennessee, and he loved him from Nashville Predators. I'm interested to see what his reaction is when he gets the tribute video coming up on Saturday, but it'll be nice to see Matt Duchene and interesting to see how the Predators match up against that Dallas team, which I think is loaded, especially at forward.
Oh, yeah, especially. And I don't think we're going to get a chance to really catch up with him maybe before the game. But, look, I'm very interested to see what his reaction is as well, Robbie. He was always a fun, you know, fan favorite here in town while he was here. You know, he, you know, paced the Predators' goal scoring for franchise history. So that was a pretty cool accolade to have. And so if you can say that about yourself during your time with a franchise, that's pretty special. And the Predators will also be coming back from Philadelphia when they come back. So, I mean, look, Dallas is taking on a tough Vancouver team. So two of the West best are going to face each other before Duchene comes back to Nashville. So going to be interested to see how he just reacts to that. But also, more importantly, you know, how could the Predators keep that, you know, really good offense at bay? You know, Dallas, they have 18 wins so far as it stands right now tonight. And then you've also got the Predators who have 18 wins as well. So, look, there's a few more things that you can like about the Predators. There's a couple of things that you can like more about the Stars. Should be a pretty fun game. I know this is going to be the biggest game of the season to this point. So, UC Saros will be tested a lot. He's had a lot of trouble against the Stars, I feel like, sometimes. And Dallas always has an answer for the Predators. So, yeah, it's going to be the rivalry reignited that maybe we will see for years and years to come.
Got to keep Joe Pavelski away from the net, man. That guy can redirect pucks better than anybody I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
He's insane.
He's still doing it at a high level, even at his age. Nick, Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas.
I hope you have yourself a wonderful weekend here. You're going to see me the next 3 days in a row.
I will.
So I have plenty of time to wish you Merry Christmas again. But for all our listeners out there here on the Preds Insiders podcast/radio show, we wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. We hope you have a great time with your family this week and enjoy some hockey along the way. It's going to be fun. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Hope everybody tunes in tomorrow. Predators taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Max Herz will be on the pregame for that one. Nick Kieser will be too. The hardest working man in sports, Capital J journalist. Preds back in action on Saturday at home against the Dallas Stars. You're listening to Preds Insiders. Penalty Box Radio up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Santa Claus is coming.